Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I kind of like Jarvis and Bunk.
I like Jarvis and Bunk, too. That's kind of cool. Do I need to go back in time and go jump on a Super Bowl team so I can say stupid stuff?
There's very little to be happy about this time of year in Seattle. It rains all the time. Yeah. The sun goes down at 4 o'clock, and all they play is Nirvana and Soundgarden on the radio.
It's the Doggone Football Podcast with Jarvis and Bunk.
You know what? That's not bad. Wait! It's the Doggone Football Podcast. I'm Jarvis Davis.
I'm Andy Bunker.
Yeah, we are back again at it for the episode.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I haven't checked lately.
Yeah.
Close to 20?
Yeah, close to 20 might be right at it.
We're doing
either
good.
19 or 20. We are doing pretty good. Yeah, man. So how are you feeling, man?
I know that here's what we're going to try to avoid.
Yeah.
And I think this is something that happens in live radio more often than people care to admit. It's early. This is probably the earliest we've ever recorded this podcast. It's still in the morning.
Yes.
And for us, that's very early. Anytime before noon for us is early.
Indeed.
So we're going to try to avoid sounding tired, because there's nothing more annoying, especially on live radio, but probably in podcasts too, than hosts who sound tired and even admit that they're tired. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve in sports radio sometimes, is people will be like, "Oh, didn't get good sleep last night." Get a 5-hour energy, suck it up, and do your show. Because everyone who's listening to you would trade spots with you right now. You want to know what tired really is? Go hang drywall or dig a ditch all day. Then you'll actually be a tired person.
Yes. I mean, it's not like, you know, like you say, you're digging ditches or out there sweating. I was on the elevator with another guy the other day, and he had this big load of boxes. And I was just like, man, that's a pretty big load. He's like, actually, this is a pretty measured. This is not that big of one that I'm normally used to. I was like, what? So I started thinking to myself. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm tired. Just came from the gym. A little, you know, worn out. Didn't get that much sleep. Yeah, suck that junk up.
Suck it up. Right.
Yeah, I'm about to get ready to talk about sports and you know, come up with topics for the day.
There's nothing more.
Let's be real.
I think there's nothing more disrespectful to a sports radio audience than talking about being tired doing the job that we do. So, that said, we're going to try to avoid sounding at all tired, because that would be ridiculous. It's the Doggone Football Podcast. There's a lot of football to discuss. We are still in the midst of the darkest time of the year in football, that 6-week period where every GM and head coach and owner in the NFL is a little puckery, hoping that their star player doesn't get into any trouble. This is the scary time of the year for the NFL. These guys are on their own and doing whatever they may be doing, hopefully staying in shape, you know, on vacation, hanging out. We're all just hoping that we all come back to training camp and nothing has happened in this weird little stretch of time.
As Dan Quinn would say for the Atlanta Falcons, protect the team. You know, don't go out there and do anything dumb. And I think where they are right now, I think that you don't have to worry about too much. Maybe them talking a little bit much. I heard Mohamed Sanu is going to make an appearance on the liberal network, as the people like to refer to it as.
What channel is it actually called?
ESPN.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Oh, my bad. The Lib
right.
Network.
Because politics are ruining sports.
Yes, they are.
I had somebody text me that last night, actually, on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. I don't remember exactly what the topic was, but he said the reason that this is happening is because sports. Oh, because I was talking about the Hawks' new arena renovations and all the crazy stuff they're putting in Phillips.
Right.
And then all the crazy stuff that the Braves have at SunTrust and everything that's happening at Mercedes-Benz. Like, we now live in a city where there's going to be three arenas that are basically like theme parks for sports fans.
Indeed.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But the guy texted in and said they have to do all this stuff because the politics that are leaking into sports are turning fans off. I'm like, hang on a second. Like, I first of all, I don't agree with that even when it comes to commentary. I don't think that's the reason that people are cord cutting. Yeah. But it's definitely not on the court. Like, that's not why people are losing interest losing interest in games. Like, dude, it's not like Dennis Schroeder is dribbling up and down the court making a political statement.
You know why people are cord cutting? Because I got a $200 cable bill. That's why.
That's why. And because you can get it for cheaper someplace else. Exactly.
It's so ridiculous. Like, I was looking at, because I had to go, you know, do my negotiating with Comcast, as I normally do. So I'm just like, man, come on, man. Why y'all charging me so much
What's
for cable?
What's your tactic, by the way? What's your Comcast tactic?
Oh, see, I always start off with a very measured, and then I get upset right midway through. Like, then I start to threaten, you know, to leave, and even whether my contract is up or not. And then I kind of, you know, get, you know, come into the understanding mode, like, well, you know, if you were able to do this, then I might reconsider. And then it kind of fast forward to the whole, you know, well, here's what your bill is going to be. You think you'd be satisfied with that? And that's kind of how it always ends.
I go the pathetic route from the very beginning. Yeah. I make it very clear to them that I'm on as poor as poor can be.
Okay.
I'm on government assistance. I can't afford to make my payments. It's, you know, this is going to break me if I have to.
Actually, it works?
Oh, every time. you walk out of there with HBO, some sort of extra channels. They might knock a little off your bill just to try to keep you because they don't want you to disengage completely.
Right, of course.
So yeah, as soon as you sound real, because I've got no shame. Like, I'm never gonna meet this person. I don't know where they are. I don't know where the Comcast call center is. Like, if it's you and me, I'm not gonna go the pathetic route.
Right, that's not
how you negotiate at work.
No doubt.
But if it's with a faceless stranger that you'll never see in your life, why not cry a little bit on the phone?
Yeah, and it doesn't help the fact that, you know, the person is, you know, probably about 60 or 70 years old. Yeah. So, you know, he has to take your time out.
I can't
you know,
be able to feed my daughter. I don't care. I want HBO for free.
Hey, man.
And
why
I have
not?
It.
Especially, you know, when you have Hard Knocks coming up. So
exactly.
You know, you might want to check that out.
I do. I want to
see. Power's back on.
You kidding me? You don't think I want to see crazy ass Jameis Winston on Hard Knocks?
Yes.
It's going to be endlessly. That dude, this is nothing against his playing ability. I think he's got every chance to be a star in the NFL.
Right.
That guy's a nut job.
Yeah.
Like, just watching interviews with him and little weird speeches that he gives to people where he goes from like angry to happy to like some weird impression of like an uncle of his or something. It's like, I don't know. He seems like he got a screw loose up top.
But it's football though, so people follow crazy.
That's true. No doubt.
The more crazy, the better.
Yeah. I agree.
People follow
you.
Ray Lewis.
Yes. Who is the craziest.
He has some of the dumbest doggone takes since he's retired.
Oh, yeah. He's.
So, you know, I mean, but people love that. And I like Jameis Winston also. I love him as a leader. It's funny that, you know, he has a chance to be the all-time leading quarterback for touchdowns thrown in franchise history this year.
Really?
Yes.
In this will be his third year?
Third year, yes.
Wow. The long and storied history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback position.
Yes.
Who's he going to pass?
Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman?
Of all people, yes.
Wow.
Who doesn't have a job in this league?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He does not.
That's
wow.
That's the league. Dang it. I hate saying that.
Why? What?
Because it's so like... In this league. You know, it's kind of like make it look like you just like, yeah, in this league.
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
But
like,
you know what's even...
I don't like that.
You know what's more pretentious?
What's that?
Is NBA, former NBA players and coaches say our league? He's the best point guard we have in our league.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the...
Like, it's mine and not yours.
That's the best offense we have in our league. It's like, come on. That Hubie Brown always says that. And I'm a big Hubie Brown fan.
By the way.
But it's just like, God, all right, I get it. Your league, not my league.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
fine. Been here, done that, you know. Get on my level. But anyway, but speaking of quarterbacks, I thought Vince Young had a lot of interesting things to say this week. Basically came out and called Ryan Fitzpatrick trash. He's garbage.
Garbage was the word that he used.
Garbage, yeah.
Dude is garbage.
Yeah, dude is garbage. And I can't argue with him.
Can we give out the first ever smartest doggone take of the week?
Yes, let's do that.
Because I'll give it to Vince Young. Now, I'll half give it to Vince Young.
Half give, okay.
Because he called out Ryan Fitzpatrick and questioned why a guy like that would still have a job in the NFL, which I fully agree with and want to talk about. But his premise was that he should have a job in the league instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, I wouldn't go that far. Yikes. I don't know that Vince Young necessarily needs to be in the NFL anymore, especially because did he just get hurt? I mean, he was playing for like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Like
that. Yeah, he pulled a hamstring or something like that. Yeah.
Right, so he's not even physically able to play in the NFL right now.
No.
But nonetheless, the point that he made about Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, is spot on. And that is, how in the world does a guy who's led the NFL in interceptions, a guy who had 6 interceptions in one game last season, somehow continue to find jobs in the NFL where, look, it doesn't always have to be about Colin Kaepernick, but right, where a guy like that can't get a job in the NFL and Ryan Fitzpatrick continues to be able to find work after work after work, even after he's proved that he is a turnover machine when he's given any type of opportunity to play quarterback.
I mean, I think one of the things we talked about before we got started, I think it's a fascination with, you know, him being the prototypical quarterback, white, deemed to be intelligent. He's a smart guy. He went to an Ivy League school. You always hear him throw that out there. Like you can be smart book-wise, but shoot, football-wise, you might be dumb as hell.
And he clearly is.
He continues to prove that
by
throwing
dumb
interception after interception after interception.
Right.
So
it's this weird disconnect where, for whatever reason, football teams still try to find some sort of correlation between book smarts and football smarts.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that it matters some, like the ability to prepare, the ability to study. Of course, you have to
having the mental capacity to understand.
Yeah,
something.
some level of intelligence, but obviously, I mean, it's demonstrated in a lot of different ways, and the Wunderlich test still does blow me away that that's something that they still make these guys go through, and then they continue to leak their Wunderlich scores every single year. So that's a different conversation for a different day. But yes, obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick did well on that test, is a smart guy, went to an Ivy League school. Broadcasters love to talk about that. It just seems like at a certain point that shouldn't matter anymore, and your demonstrated performance on the field should. And he's demonstrated time and time again that he's not a very good quarterback. Like, in your backup quarterback, the number one thing that you want is somebody who can come in and just not screw it up.
Don't turn the ball over.
Right. That's literally
that's
what he
strength
does. Right.
That's one of his biggest strengths as a quarterback, to turn the ball over. And that's a guy that you don't want. And like you said, 6 picks in one game. Colin Kaepernick threw 4 the entire season last year. So I think that if you try to take it out of compartmentalizing and look at it like, okay, why is that the case? And I think another guy that kind of adds is in that category also is Andrew Luck. I mean, when are people going to start putting his feet to the fire? When are people going to start to take a look at him like, well, maybe this guy is not as good as we thought? Because he's been in the league now for several years. You would think that he will start getting some of those questions. He at least start to be questioned. I wouldn't necessarily say a bust, but, you know, I mean, he kind of is what he is right now.
Right. He's not a bust yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
And I think we all agree by watching him play that he has,
you see, the potential,
a level of talent that not very many quarterbacks in the NFL have. At the same time, this guy makes a lot of really dumb mistakes too. And I swear there is not a single athlete in professional sports today that broadcasters and fans are quicker to make excuses for than for Andrew Luck. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know if you are friends with his family. I don't know if he's got naked pictures of you in a compromising position.
Probably has some of his owner.
We'll get to his owner a little bit later. His owner, man.
Jim Irsay. Oh, my God. You are the best.
I think I could hang out with Jim Irsay. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that a little bit later. But people love to defend him for whatever reason. Like, anytime most quarterbacks throw interceptions, that is on them. The blame is on them. They're the quarterback. They're the face of the team. They're the one that gets paid the most. But when Andrew Luck does it, it's like, oh, that guy broke his route off too early. Oh, he doesn't have good receivers.
He doesn't have a good offensive line.
Well, the running back missed it. It's like, I guess. But at a certain point, if there's enough mistakes and there's enough interceptions and enough bad plays, isn't it possible? Now, hear me out. Maybe that he's not quite as good as you thought he was going to be. And people hate that because people want to confirm what they predicted, right? Mm-hmm. Like everyone said when he came in the league, this guy is going to be the next this. This guy is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL. Consensus number one, blah, blah, blah. All this
face
stuff.
Of the franchise, and all that good stuff.
Anthony Davis is another example of this. Like Anthony Davis is a very, very good player in the NBA.
Is.
There's no doubt. But because people dubbed him the next Tim Duncan or whatever after his rookie season, people have made excuses for the fact that his teams have been terrible year after year after year, even though it's the NBA and one player can make a massive difference. Like those two guys, for whatever reason, and I think the reason is because people decided they were going to be great at such an early age, and then now they're trying to double down on their prediction.
Right.
It's just, it frustrates me the different way that different players are covered and different players are critiqued. I think Andrew Luck has been the beneficiary of about the most favorable coverage that I can remember in the NFL.
I mean, let's take a look at Andrew Luck. He went to the Ivy League School of the West, right?
Basically.
He went to Stanford.
Yeah.
So he's been deemed smart. He's intelligent.
Did well on the Wonderlic.
He looks the part. He did well on the Wonderlic. So, I mean, so it seems as if the guys that fit this mold, they kind of get the benefit of the doubt. And who's to say he won't get the same benefit of the doubt till his career's over with? And that's a sad part, because you would think that these guys, people who these prognosticators or people who cover the game, they would kind of take a look at his game and say, okay, his offensive line may be pretty bad. But I mean, let's face it. What all-pro guys did Peyton Manning have? I can't remember. I mean, maybe Tariq Glenn, the first one that comes to my mind. Well, who used to play left tackle?
Jeff Saturday.
He was a pro bowler. Yeah, he was pretty solid. But, I mean, he didn't have great offensive lines, like, throughout his entire career. So, and you could barely even name some of those guys. Some of those guys that were, I remember a guy named Sweetag or something like that. He had a weird name. And they just pulled him off the street. And he was deemed solid because he was Peyton Manning was up under center. So I hate the people to use that excuse for all of the everybody's. It's something wrong with everybody around him except for him. Like, so when you have that, those type of people covering these guys like that, it just makes me feel like certain guys are going to get that benefit of the doubt, and it's proved it time and time again.
Now, there's something that is actually obviously wrong with him this offseason, Andrew Luck, that is. And I don't know that we can blame this on anyone else. Well, maybe we can. Maybe it's somebody else's fault that he had to get shoulder surgery.
It is, yeah.
But he did get shoulder surgery.
Because he went through the whole season with it.
And the report, right. So that's why the season was bad last year, because he had bad shoulder. And, right. So there's always something.
It's always an excuse.
But he did have to get shoulder surgery this offseason. And the report yesterday was he's not able to throw yet. Cam Newton, similar surgery, was a little behind schedule on recovery, and that was because they maybe predicted that he would heal faster than he has. Cam Newton threw the ball, I think, 45 times last week. He said he was still stiff, didn't have the complete range of motion, but they still feel like Cam Newton's going to be ready for training camp. Andrew Luck's not throwing the football yet. Do you think that Colts fans should be worried about this? Because I certainly do.
I mean, I would be concerned if I'm a fan of that particular team, because if he's not able to throw now and we're less than 30 days out from training camp,
yeah.
I mean, what's to say to you that 30 days he's going to be able to throw at full strength? So that means he's going to miss time in practice. He's going to miss, and that's going to be vital to whether you're going to be successful or not, because you have all of these things that have been implemented with them in the offseason, and you have a guy who hasn't been, throwing the football. So, and we think about injury, let's talk about when injuries, when it comes to quarterbacks, like that's like a running back who hasn't run since he had ankle surgery. And a running back needs his ankle. A quarterback is going to need his shoulder to be able to throw. You're talking about arm strength and all of that. That's why when you have when you come off those injuries and you think about all the things you have to deal with once you come back, it's not like he's going to be at full strength when he comes back. And you're telling me now he can't even throw a football. So when he starts to be able to throw the football, he's still not going to be ready.
I'll give you, I don't want to potentially lose too much money. I'll give you $5 if you can name the Colts backup quarterback.
Wow, man.
I didn't want to say $100. I'm very confident that you're not going to know this person's name. There's not a chance in hell I would have known this person's name.
It was Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, it was.
It was Matt Hasselbeck.
He's at ESPN now.
Dang.
Taking all his brother's minutes, by the way. As soon as Matt Hasselbeck got to...
I guarantee you somebody from the Big Ten.
Scott Tolzien. Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
I couldn't just think of Tolzien. Yeah. Scott Tolzien. Yeah. Used to be Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wisconsin used to be. Yeah. He came in right after Russell Wilson.
I was close.
Yeah. Scott Tolzien. Tolzien? Tolzien?
I think it's Tolzien.
Whatever.
Yeah. He doesn't matter.
He's the backup in Indy. he sucks, but he might play.
Yeah.
He might have to play. And again, like, not trying to be super alarmist because I'm anti Andrew Luck guy. And I'll be honest, I'm slightly biased. I am a little bit anti Andrew Luck just because of the way that he and Russell Wilson have been covered since they came into the league.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson has done really well and people have come up with reasons why it doesn't count.
He kind of won the Super Bowl.
Right. Right. He's gone twice.
Yeah.
He's the second highest passer rating in NFL history. Like there's a lot of lines on Russell Wilson's resume that aren't there on Andrew Luck's resume, but everyone goes through Russell Wilson's and goes, yeah, well, this is because of this. And he had this defense.
He had a great defense.
He didn't have to throw the ball very much. And he had Marshawn Lynch. And he's a mobile quarterback. It's like, okay. Mm. But then when you look at Andrew Luck and you look at all the negative stuff and you're arguing in the opposite direction, like, so that to me, that's always been something that's been a huge pet peeve of mine is how differently those two guys were covered. And again, I think it gets back to that same conversation we were having earlier.
Fits the mold.
One is very prototypical in every way that you can use that word.
Yeah.
And the other one isn't. And people will always have a problem with that. There won't be... Russell Wilson, on the track that he's on, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And Russell Wilson will play 15 years in the NFL, and there will be an analyst in his final year. If he's won one Super Bowl, if he's won three Super Bowls, no matter what, however many Pro Bowls he's gone to, there will be someone who says, but he's not very tall. It's like, we're still having that conversation?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, come on.
And I'm not going to lie and say that I thought Russell Wilson was going to be a good quarterback coming out because mid-round pick.
Right.
You're thinking, what's the guy from Green Bay who stole
Matt
money
Flynn.
From him? Matt Flynn. They brought him in. He was supposed to be the starter. And you have this guy... come in 5'10 at the most.
5'10 and 5'8.
5'10 and 5'8,
For all those guys that are right around 5'11,
hey,
those 5'8s are very important.
I respect that.
You wouldn't understand being 6'6 or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm 6'4 and 3/4.
Okay.
I kind of got shot down.
So you kind of.
To come by myself.
You kind of understand.
Yeah. I put me through that stuff. Like, no, you're not 6'5. You're 6'4.
But I mean, 6'4 and 3/4 is pretty good.
Yeah, it's
not
bad.
Let me borrow an inch. I'll be 6 feet tall. You'll still be 6'3. Yeah. That'd be great.
You can borrow a couple hundred pounds. You can definitely do that. I'll let you have the pounds, baby. You can have that.
All right, we'll call it even.
I don't know if I'm borrow, my wife might have a problem with the inches, though.
That's a different.
Yeah, it's a different whole different conversation.
You say I need those inches.
Okay, let's bring this back.
Okay.
So with the whole Russell Wilson deal, I mean, but seriously, there. People are going to say and feel how they feel about those type of quarterbacks. I put that in quotation marks because, like I say, he's not the prototype. He's not prototypical. He's a guy who can move around.
Right.
Like, that's some type of detriment to the type of quarterback that he is.
We had this conversation.
The fact that he can move around.
Stan Norfleet and I had this conversation on a weekend show a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I thought it was actually Oren Romain, the producer here at 92.9 The Game, came up with the question. And I thought it was a really good question. In 2017, what does a pro-style quarterback even mean? Like, I know traditionally what that's meant. Right,
pocket Ryan passer. Fitzpatrick.
Right, exactly. Pocket passer,
smart,
strong arm, 6'3",
prototypical,
white. Exactly. Like that has been
smart.
What a pro style quarterback has been.
Yeah.
In 2017, pro style quarterback could mean any number of things if you're actually applying what different pro teams actually want in terms of the style of their quarterback. So I just think it's really important that we allow, with the evolution of the game, we allow our thought and the way that we interpret the game to evolve as well.
Russell Wilson
is just as pro style of a quarterback as Andrew Luck is, as Peyton Manning is, or Tom Brady is today, because the system that he plays in is a system that fits his style, and he's a pro. So he's a pro style.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then I just think about when you were talking, I was thinking about two separate plays that it was Aaron Rodgers scrambling around, having all buying all type of time and everything, and how they talked about that play. And then I kind of to a Russell Wilson play, and he did the exact same thing. But he kind of maybe he may have ran a little bit to the left or ran a little bit to the right. I'm like, if you're a football person who looks at that play and say, he was doing the same thing. He was buying more time, but it was the play-by-play guy mentioned it differently. Like he said that, you know, he's running all around, and, you know, versus he's buying time.
Scrambling just, versus buying time.
Scrambling versus buying time. It's just the verbiage. I think the verbiage, if the way we talk about the game needs to change, because when it comes to determining what a pro-style quarterback is, because the way, just like I can run off a thousand ways to describe a white football player, and then people will know what color that player is by how I describe him. You know, like smart, intelligent, prototypical.
Real gym rat.
You know, versus athletic, you know, natural ability, you know, very instinctful.
Yeah. He's a beast.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
You know, just referring to him in animalistic terms, you know. So like, all of those things kind of go into that pot, and it has to be brewed and boiled down to nothing in order for it to evolve.
You know what really made me happy? Yesterday I was listening to Dukes and Bell, and you guys had Dana Altman on.
Yes.
And I always call people out for this because people are so narrow in their ability to compare players.
Right.
We did a basketball draft preview show with Deshaun and Arthur a couple weeks ago at night, and we were talking about comparisons for Luke Kennard, and you know, not to call those guys out, but they made very like visual comparisons, right? Like other Duke guards.
Of course.
And I was like, guys, but that's not how he plays. Like, he plays more like, and my thought was he plays more like Michael Redd than any of the other guys that he threw
out
there.
That's a decent comparison.
And they're like, oh, and I was like, I know that they look different.
Yeah, they look different.
But Dana Altman was on the show yesterday, and he compared Tyler Dorsey
to Kyle Korver. I thought that was a great comparison.
Thank you, Dana Altman.
Yes.
Thank you for being willing to make comparisons, like cross-racial line comparisons.
Yes.
Because
Somebody does that.
Not all white athletes can only be compared to other white athletes. Not all black athletes can only be compared to other black athletes. Like, the best comparison for Jameis Winston is Ben Roethlisberger, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everybody always wants
to stay in the pocket.
Yeah, he's like a Byron Leftwich. I mean, kinda, except he's way better than Byron Leftwich.
A lot better.
Like, give him some credit. Like,
yes,
he's a lot like this other guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, who's a great quarterback. Like, I know that they don't look exactly the same, but expand your mind a little bit.
Right. I mean, that's the only way we're going to evolve. Like, because I joke about it a lot because it's funny. I thought it was actually kind of, you know, funny there how you describe certain players certain ways. It's cool. But like I said, if we're going to start determining what a pro-style quarterback is in today's game, we're going to have to change the way we talk about it.
Because there's so many different ways that you can play.
Right.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, the way that the college game has evolved, the way the high school game has evolved, like, guys are coming to the NFL with a different skill set. I also think that we're finally starting to value and allow guys that are just great athletes to stay at the quarterback position versus moving them to running back, wide receiver, defensive back, whatever. Like, so many different guys that could play quarterback in 2017 were never allowed to play quarterback before because they were moved out of that spot.
Charlie Ward.
Exactly.
Prime example.
It's a great example.
He went to the NBA. Now, that shows you what type of athlete he was.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I was the greatest quarterback in college.
Won the Heisman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't play quarterback for you all. Oh, I need to go to Canada. Oh, let me go to the NBA.
I'll just go play point guard for the Knicks.
For 10 years.
Right. Which is incredible.
That's amazing.
It is.
But that's amazing.
My current favorite example of this is Cam Chancellor. Cam Chancellor was a quarterback even his freshman year at Virginia Tech. And and they moved him for, I mean, for reasons that this a lot of guys have been moved out of the quarterback position.
Indeed.
And clearly he's been a great safety.
Yes.
There's no doubt. But Jake Locker was allowed to play quarterback all the way into the league for 3 years, not being able to. I couldn't play quarterback in high school, couldn't throw the ball, couldn't play quarterback in college, had no accuracy, couldn't play quarterback in the NFL, and still cashed $25 million worth of checks. And the only difference between...
And he lost money, too, because he had a, if he had a gone out going out earlier,
right.
he would have been a number one overall pick.
Yes, absolutely.
Back then, that would have been $35, $40
million. His freshman year at in college... If he looked like Cam Chancellor, being 6'4", being as fast as he was, being as big as he is, with absolutely no accuracy in his right arm, he'd have been a damn safety. He'd have been a safety real fast. And you know what? He would have been a better safety than he was a quarterback. I'll tell you that.
Probably so.
Because he couldn't play quarterback to save his life. And that's why he's out of the NFL, and he's an assistant coach at Ferndale High School to this very day.
Wow. That is an amazing fall, by the way.
It is. It's also amazing that someone that can't play a position because he looks like guys that play that position was able to get drafted in the top 10. Like that. That's how narrow-minded some scouts and general managers and front office people are in the NFL that they will talk themselves into a guy who, again, we're talking about demonstrated performance, who has shown you, he played college for 4 years, never had a completion percentage higher than 55%. And they thought they could somehow bring him in and, like, come on. Yeah. He was a quarterback of a team that went 0-12 in college.
Yes.
But what are you thinking? Why are you doing this?
Jay Cutler stole money, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's horrible.
It's amazing.
Lost like a whole bunch of games at Vanderbilt.
Hopefully these guys will get smarter and realize that just because you look like you can play quarterback doesn't necessarily mean you can play quarterback.
Yes.
But I'm not optimistic because here we sit. This whole conversation started from the comment from Vince Young. Here we sit with Ryan Fitzpatrick still collecting a paycheck to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yep, and the NFC South for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Which is great. I'm glad he's in the NFC South.
That, oh, if James gets hurt, oh, that's going to be so great.
They're going to
for the Atlanta Falcons.
And again, hopefully Jameis doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, right? We don't want
to
see.
We're not
hurt,
advocating for Jameis to get hurt,
not
but
at
if
all.
He does, Tampa Bay's going 2-14.
Yes, they are, and I think that once we get to that point, which I feel like I said, I'm on board with you. I don't think we're going to get to that point. I hope we do eventually, but like it's better. Don't get me wrong; it's better than what it was. But I think that the more you kind of see guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick continue to get jobs and have done nothing in the league, except for a dupe, the Buffalo Bills, and thinking that he's a starter.
And the Jets.
And the Jets, too. And it's just going to continue to be that way. I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe Bill Belichick start drafting nothing but black quarterbacks going forward. I don't know.
He drafted Jacoby Brissett, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he actually did pretty solid when he played. Got a chance to play last year, so he won a game. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I want to be optimistic, but like you said, it's probably not going
to
happen.
Right. I mean, you still have
deal with it and move on.
Like a lot of things, I guess it's slowly getting better.
Slowly,
but
like a sundial.
You can still look. Yeah, you still look around, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback.
Yes.
All right, a couple other things we wanted to get to before we get to the dumbest doggone take of the week. Matt Ryan's in a Gatorade commercial.
Yes,
I imagine you've seen this commercial.
Yes, I have seen that commercial.
I've got two big takeaways from this commercial.
Okay.
Number one, I love the idea of, it's basically a commercial for Embrace the Suck, right?
Indeed.
I mean,
essentially, yeah.
Use your failure for fuel and all that stuff. I love it. I mean, it's a fantastic message. But more importantly than that, it says pretty clearly to me that Matt Ryan is now viewed in the eyes of the NFL world and the advertising world as a superstar. Matt Ryan is now officially a superstar.
You think he's finally crossed over?
I do. You win the MVP and you get a Gatorade commercial with Michael Jordan and Serena Williams and the Manning brothers. I think you're a superstar at that point.
I mean, you know, yeah, you win MVP. That's true. Like, but is it going to continue? That would be my next question. Is this going to continue? And the only way, the answer to that is the only way he's able to continue is he continue to be MVP like.
True.
Be in the conversations from here on to, you know, he starts to fall off in a few years. So I think that continuing to play great, I think that, yeah, he's going to be a superstar. But if he falls off or has another year like he did the previous year, probably not. I don't think it's going to continue. I don't think he's going to be continued to looked at as a superstar just due to that fact, because I feel like a lot of times, I mean, and it holds true, the better you play, the more money you're going to get outside of the sport.
And I understand what you're saying, and I agree actually completely with what you're saying in that none of this came until the big success came.
No doubt.
He's not getting these endorsement deals based on personality. And that's not to say that he doesn't have a fine personality.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He just doesn't have that big time, outgoing, flashy personality that other quarterbacks have had in the NFL and other wide receivers and guys have had in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I just think once you get a Gator, he's the only active player in that commercial, at least in the NFL. Kyle Schwarber, again, I don't understand how Kyle Schwarber is in that commercial.
Yeah, like.
But
is he like the minor leagues?
He's
now?
Literally in the minor leagues right now. But
thanks.
But I digress. Mm-hmm. I just feel like when you're the face of a Gatorade commercial like that, that means that you've taken that leap. And you're right. It goes away very quickly, too. If he comes back next year, they go 8-8, and he throws 20 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, then Matty Ice is back to everyone being mad at him.
Or Matty Water.
Now,
as my friends like to affectionately refer to him as.
Matty Water. That's pretty good. Now, I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
This team is pretty well set up for him and them to succeed for quite some time. But I think that that's a positive step for Falcons fans to finally see the quarterback of the team, the face, one of the faces of the team. I think there's two faces of this team, him and Julio.
Yeah, Julio's been out there too.
To be in a national commercial. And I know Julio's in that Under Armour commercial with the Migos.
Yeah.
But
the Gator, with the Migos a lot.
The Gator, he is.
Yes,
he's pretty good friends with those guys.
Shooting dice before the BET Awards and all that good stuff.
He was in the background of that Migos Joe Budden.
Joe Budden's beef.
Beef, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Julio's everywhere. It's amazing.
Yes, he is. He's trying to get his face and name out there.
I'm not mad at him.
He doesn't have to, though. You know, he's already out there. But, you know, dumbest dog gonna take it a week. Here we go. My DDT goes to... Jim Irsay, I can't say that on this podcast, but
I think you could.
I probably could.
Yeah,
get away with it.
I couldn't.
No, you couldn't. Can I just say it and we bleep it out?
Sure.
No, I don't use that word. I don't like to use that word. But anyway, Jim Irsay tweeted a picture of a. It's pretty provocative. Like one was butt naked, you know, with her legs open and. All the goodness is just showing stuff. And he proceeds to come out to give the reason why he's getting this DDT and says that he gives the quintessential I've been hacked tweet. And I just think that, like, when does an owner become a distraction? When does an owner... You know, is a detriment to his team.
Yeah, I think
as far as being the face of an organization.
I think Dan Gilbert has been a distraction in Cleveland with the Cavs.
Dan Gilbert is a clown.
Jerry Jones has been a distraction at times in Dallas, no doubt about it. I think
I could deal with Jerry though.
Al Davis was a distraction at the end of his tenure. Before he passed away in Oakland with the Raiders.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, there's been a number of owners throughout the history. I mean, obviously Marge Schott was a pretty big distraction when she owned the Reds.
Yeah, for the most part.
There's been a lot of Jim Mercer's for sure a distraction. He's a drunk. Like it
and a druggie too.
Hopefully he
got caught with some work, like,
taken care of. But it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
For those of you who don't know what work is, that is like amount of drugs that you can actually sell for profit.
Yeah,
just got to put it out there.
He had a lot of drugs with him.
A lot of drugs,
and I mean he.
It didn't serve a day in jail. By the way,
I wonder why.
Yeah,
again, back to that prototypical.
He's a prototypical owner.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think that's a good way to put it. But he's totally a distraction.
Yeah, it's just like you just kind of like, okay, all right, everybody just laugh. Oh, that's just Jim Irsay. Oh, just Jim. He has $1 billion. You know. You know. So what are we going to say? Like, who's gonna call him to call him a task? Roger Goodell, negative.
No.
His players,
no.
Negative.
The law.
Head coach, no. The law, maybe.
Nah, probably not.
I throw a couple $100,000 at it. Yeah, hey, it'll go away.
Yeah, maybe you got fined.
You get a pre-trial intervention, you know, going about your way. You know, don't do it anymore, Jimmy. Don't do it anymore, Jimmy. Stop doing that stuff on Twitter. You guy, drink and do drugs at home, you know, don't drive.
Stay in your mansion.
Stay in your mansion and have call girls come to your house and have a really good time.
That's your dumbest doggone take of
the
week.
That's my DDT of the week.
I'm giving a preemptive dumbest doggone take of the week
okay.
to the New York Knicks for even considering hiring Isaiah Thomas.
This is so great.
To replace Phil Jackson. Like, honestly, this is a real story.
Yeah, tweet.
It's being reported by various media outlets, including Frank Isola, who is really dialed in the New York media scene.
To say the least.
Knows what's happening in New York. That the Knicks may potentially bring Isaiah Thomas back to the role that he was previously fired from
wow.
to replace Phil Jackson, who's been the only person that was worse than him at that job.
Oh, my God.
I hope they do, just because it would be the most New York Knicks thing ever. It would be awesome. It would be hilarious. It would keep them the laughingstock. I love franchises like that being a laughingstock, because the only reason anybody gives a damn about them is because they're in New York.
Is it?
And that annoys me. The
yes.
New York East Coast bias.
It's a top market.
Is infuriating.
Andy, it's a top market. It's a top media market.
When the Knicks suck,
United States.
I love it. When the Lakers suck, I love it. When the Yankees suck, I love it. When the Cowboys suck, I love it. There are various teams that nothing makes me happier than them being terrible, and the New York Knicks are on that list.
I you know, and I kind of feel you. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Back into the whole Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, you know, Anthony Mason, God rest his soul. All of those guys, I love watching Knicks. Charlie Ward, because I was a big fan of Charlie Ward playing football.
I didn't like that team.
It kind of transferred. I love that
team.
They
were boring.
Oh, not at all. I call them the goons.
I don't
you know,
like
the New York goons.
Yeah, it was possible there would be a fight. But if there wasn't a fight, their games were so boring. They scored like 82 points a game.
Yes, I loved it.
Dribble, dribble, dribble.
I'm bigger than you.
Patrick
I'm going
Ewing
to score.
Fade
on you.
Away.
I love that.
Ugh.
I love that.
Yuck.
I'm bigger than you.
Give me
I'm
the,
going to score.
Give me the Golden
and
State
nothing
Warriors.
You can do about it.
7 days a week.
So what?
And twice on Sunday.
Come to the hole if you want to. You got to close line.
It's worth three out here. Why would I go anywhere near you?
Well, nowadays they'll do that.
Charles
because it's
Oakley's
okay to
in
do
there
it
getting
now.
Ready to take my head off. I'm going to actually stay out here 25 feet out and just jack threes.
Yeah.
But thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I love watching those guys. But, I mean, yeah, but it is kind of, I ain't going to lie, it's entertaining to see them to be the way they are to where they were. Albeit that team never won a championship. However, they were very relevant.
Yeah.
Most relevant.
The Knicks haven't won a championship since 1973.
Yikes.
You know who's won a championship since then? The Sonics.
Yeah.
They won a championship in 1979, and they don't even damn exist anymore.
Yeah,
okay,
that's true.
The
had
the
to get that Sonics reference in, huh?
Every podcast I do has to have a Sonics reference. But that was actually true. They have won an NBA championship since the Knicks have,
indeed.
And they haven't even been a team in the NBA for a decade.
Yeah.
This right here is stealing from Scott Van Pelt, but that's okay. I think Scott Van Pelt does a great job. The Golden State Warriors won a championship, waited 40 years, and then have won two more championships since the Knicks last won a championship.
Yikes.
The Knicks are a joke.
Yeah they are.
And they've
a
been
joke.
A joke for a long time.
They will continue to be a joke if James Dolan continues to run that team.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
somehow
go.
We got on basketball, but that's all right.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good.
Man, we're versatile, man.
We
can
are.
Talk about anything.
Yeah.
We can talk about baseball. We'll talk about baseball.
Dual threat.
Triple threat.
You want to talk about Bartolo?
Yeah, that's, oh, God.
That's it, right?
The worst.
He's done, right?
Yes.
You can't let him start again, right?
Like, this is baseball, and I heard John Chuckery, who works here in 99 The Game, also talk about, you know, this is baseball. What's $6 million? Like,
right.
aren't we halfway through the season
There's
now?
There's no salary cap.
Like, what's $6 million bucks?
What? Nothing.
No, exactly. So, there's no salary cap, so let's go. You know? I mean, it is time. Let's see what Sean Newcomb has. And bring up another one of those young arms you've been stockpiling for the last 10
years. I think we know what Sean Newcomb has.
Yeah, definitely. I'm talking about like Lucas Sims.
Yeah,
let's
bring
see
him
what
up.
Lucas
bring
what
up
he could
Lucas
do.
Sims. I'm 100% supportive of that.
Yeah.
What about the home run derby? You got to see Aaron Judge in the home run derby.
Yeah, why
right?
wouldn't he be?
I don't know. All these idiots
and you play for the
about,
Yankees, right?
All these idiots talking about it'll mess up his swing. No, it won't.
Man, the hell?
He's a home
Who
run
cares?
Hitter.
Who cares?
The only person that's ever happened to is Bobby Abreu.
Abreu. That's
and
it.
Bobby Abreu
that's
is
it.
Not a home run hitter.
No.
That's he had a big home run derby, and then in the second half of the season, hit like one or two home runs, and
dude's
everyone's
like 6'7",
right?
Dude, you know, he only can swing one way.
You know who won the home run derby three times in years that he hit 50 home runs? Ken Griffey Jr. didn't mess up
the
his swing.
The sweetest swing of all time.
If Aaron Judge doesn't participate in the home run derby, then I may officially be done with the home run derby. And I know that that's going to really change everyone's
yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, no, Andy
doubt.
Bunker's not going to watch a home run derby anymore.
That's a hot take.
I know that doesn't mean a hot piece of nothing to anybody, but still, you got to do it. Is that a phrase? Did I make that up?
All yeah, right. that was all right. A hot piece of nothing.
Piece of nothing.
Yeah, that's FCC regulated
making up
phrase.
My own like Southern phrases.
Hey man, that's hot piece of. You know what?
Hot piece of nothing.
Before it hits the toilet,
it'll be bullcorn if he doesn't participate. That's what right. That's your thing.
Oh yeah, bullcorn. Yeah.
Bullcorn.
Yeah, bull crap.
I know, but you say corn sometimes.
Yeah, I say bullcorn sometimes. Yeah, bullcorn. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be bullcorn if he didn't participate.
It'd be bullcorn. It'll be some foolery.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah. No, I say foolery.
Oh,
I don't like Tom.
All right.
Whoever he is.
Yeah, I get it. I never thought about it like that.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Since we showed you how versatile we are, we can talk about all sports here.
Shout out to Lyle Thompson, the MVP of the National Lacrosse League.
Yeah, there you go.
That's four sports.
Yeah, that's four.
We're shout out to John McEnroe for putting his foot in his mouth. That's five sports.
For being a numbnuts.
Yeah.
I can say numbnuts, right?
You can say numbnuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For talking about Serena, who is one of the greatest female tennis player of all
time. One of the greatest athletes of all time, period.
Yes.
Don't have to say female.
She's a hell of an athlete.
One of the greatest athletes that ever lived.
Yeah. She's a great athlete.
Yep.
Yes. I see that every time. I'm not talking about tennis anymore, are we?
Okay.
Okay. All right, it's time to go.
Let's do it.
This does it for the Doggone Football Podcast. Don't forget you can follow me at JarvisD90.
You can follow me at Mr. Andy Bunker.
And don't forget to follow our Twitter page at DoggoneFBPod.
See ya.
Bye now.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.